Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to each and every one, my sisters and my brothers in the Lord. On June 11, 2021, this is the Agape Worldwide Prayer and Delivery Ministry. This is Pastor Ruth from North Carolina. We welcome you. We welcome you in the name of Jesus for another day, another opportunity to come on to look at the name of Jesus, to bring your liberty to his people, to glorify his name, and to give his people hope, to hope in him during these dark days. We will bring forth the word tonight. We will pray for anyone who may want to need prayer and stand in the prayer of them. But, you know, I just like to encourage everyone that will hear this message. You know, it's time to really take the word of God at heart, take him at heart, and believe what he say. Wait on him, go through whatever you have to go through, push through, plow through, whatever it is. Just like in the world, a lot of times when we want to do something we didn't have any business doing, we didn't let anything stop us from reaching whatever it is we had to reach. So in Christ, the better things, you know, we should use that same tenacity to go forth, to reach forth, because in this day and time, it is a time that we need to learn to stand and lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up his holy name. Let the people know and let him work through us to know that he's still here, deliver, and set free. You know, I thank and praise God for this opportunity, no matter what I'm going through, where I am going to. In spite of, I do know God is with me. I do know that he's a prayer-answering God. I do know that he is faithful. And he will keep his end if I keep my end. And I am trying to walk in obedience to his word, you know, and what he has assigned me to do. He's going to require me to do what he has called me to do. In spite of what's going on, in spite of sometimes I was told a long time ago that a lot of times there will be time that you have to go by yourself. You know, this is something you have to make up in your mind. How bad do you want him? How much do you really need him? And I'm not talking about when you get in trouble, because most of us, whether we want to admit it or not, when we get in trouble, we'll hurry up and find somebody to pray for us. We'll hurry up and start praying. But what about when things seem to be going all right? We still need him, because he said in his word, without him, we can do nothing. We have to come to a place of realization. At least I have. I'm nothing without him. Nothing without him. He makes me to be who that I am today. He makes me to be that. And I remember when he was transforming my life. Was transforming my life to be a vessel for the master use. You know, so I thank him. Those were the hard times, and those was bad times. But, you know, I thank God for where I am today, you know, because everything that I've gone through make me be the woman of God that I am today, that will stand with him, that will trust in him, and able to tell people what I have gone through and what to do. I'm not just telling people what the Bible say. I'm telling people also what I've experienced with the Lord, what I have learned from the Lord. No, I have not learned it all, and probably live the next 1,000 years, I won't know it all, because he's not going to tell one person everything about him and his kingdom. He's not going to do that. You know, only the part that he chooses for to release unto you. But I just want to encourage, you know, people today, do not give up, even though it looked like things is not going to happen, or this, that, and the other, you know, and constantly I stay encouraged, because my trust is in him. It's not in people. It's not in nothing else but him. If he don't come through for me, this is the place I have come in here. If he don't come through, nobody else is not going to come through. And I, you know, you learn that in your lifetime by when you're going through it. Many times we put our trust and faith in people, and as soon as trouble get to boiling going on, they walk off and leave you. And I learned a lot from mistakes and choices I made. So now I'm trying to make the choice that he gives me, because he's an all-wise God. He's more wiser than I am. You know, so I thank and praise him for that. So I bless each and every person that calls in. And I do have, I was trying to wish some other come home prayerfully, but if not, I go and tell them because I've got a praise report from someone that I had been praying for. So God is still answering prayer. You know, we can't tell them when, how, whatever. And I keep trying to tell people there are a lot of things that I've been waiting on for a long time. I'm not talking about a little short time. And during this time, I have faithfully tried to stay with the Lord and be obedient to him. But then again, there's a lot of things he still answers my prayer for other people that he haven't answered for me. But see, I'm not serving him for what he can do for me and what he owes me. He don't owe me anything. I'm serving him because I'm in love with him. You know, I love him, and I know that there's no way that he is going to not answer the prayers and things he gives me. But I always tell people, I believe this in my heart, those who wait, a lot of times your blessing, your anointing will be bigger than those people that heard and got past. God knows each and every person. He knows some of us, as soon as we get what we want from him or whatever, we're going to turn our back on him. To trouble have him again. And he knows that, so he's all wise and knows what he's doing. So we ask just to trust, continue to trust the Lord, go through. Because if you don't go through and experience some things, sometimes what he allow you to go through, you have nothing to tell anybody. You just can't tell them what the words say, but you don't know it for a reality in your own life. You know, because whatever you go through, that's the word you preach and teach. You know, and it lines up with the word of God. Line up with the word of God. And any time I am coming forth, however I'm comfortable, it's something that the Lord have taken me through to learn him, about him in that way. But also when I read scripture, it goes back to in scripture that he have taken somebody else that way. And then when I read a lot of books, a lot of different things on how other people, God has taken them through and what they learned, I learned from them also. Because this experience that they had, you know, and I thank God, and I praise God for all of that. You know, I had this book. This is not the testimony, but I had this book. I got a lot of books. I mean, I really got a lot of books. And God allowed the books to come my way to help, because he didn't want the church world teaching me about a historical God and not a true living God with a relationship. And so a lot of times he would allow me to get information. I send books to me, had people send books. Sometimes I didn't even know the books were coming, didn't know who they're coming from, to help to teach me how to build a relationship with him, how to get to know him. And when he started allowing me to go through bad stuff, which comes, I wouldn't be sitting up whining and crying and blaming him, because there's somebody else, in order for them to have the anointing on their life, then they had to go through. Because there is a sacrifice and there's a price that you have to pay. We see the glory, but we don't know what these people went through. We want to be like them. I don't. But a lot of time I tell people, you know, they see God using somebody mighty. They see them walking and anointing, see them maybe raising dead and healing people. They say, I want that. But they don't know what that person went through with. But got to trust them while they going through, not complaining, not doing all this stuff, and then came out like pure gold and then anointed their life, you know. So we have to really... like I said, a lot of time that people to understand, and whatever he has called out for you to go through with, he already knows what it's going to take you to get to be the person he wants you to be. But I was getting ready to say, I had this book, and sometime back I had sent this book to my daughter, well, she had come home, and I let her take it back, Silver Refined by Kay Arthur. And another one I gave by a guy named Dwight Moody, Why God Used Him. I was just glad to give her those books. What's gone so basically, she had said one time she had started reading Dwight Moody because he was a man that totally, wholly sold out to God. Totally, and everything. You know, he was in the world, but he really wasn't out of the world. And she read that, but the book that I want to talk about was by Silver Refine, and what that was about going through the fire, what God be stripping you off of, what he be doing in your life, this, that, and the other. Because I had read the book, and that's why I did not stopped complaining before I read it and listened to the saints or whatever you call them. Anyway, I used to complain about this and why this, that, and the other. But once I read that book and realized he was refining me just like you do silver. And in silver or gold, you put it on a hot fire. And you cut the fire up. And everything that's not like him come to the top in the scheme at all. That's what they do with gold and silver, but to get pure gold and silver. So in our lives, it's the same thing, because a lot of us think because we decent people, I don't say good, because the Bible said nobody's good but the Father. Nobody's good but the Father. But we think we're decent people. We don't know the little mess that we got down in us, the little attitude. And it takes the right situation, the right person, or right whatever it is, to dig at us and that mess come out. That's what he's after. The devil don't turn his stomach state in your life. God does it. God puts you in the fire. He may allow people to do it, but it's coming from him. But anyway, I let her read. So one night this week, I forgot what night it was. I guess it had to have been on Wednesday. I don't know what Wednesday night, whatever night it was. But anyway, she was on, and she God had me talking about the refiner fire, which I would go back through that at some time, because there's a lot of scripture I didn't have time to give, and I don't have time to give it on the blog talk. But she texted me and told me the scripture, what I was teaching on refining fire was the confirmation of what she read that day. So that means that she's paying attention, and she listened, and she's learning, and she's able to recognize that God is coming back and letting her know that whatever he had to had her to read that day is what he's doing in her life. So I think I praise God for that because, you know, I've been waiting to see, really, for a long time, out of the words I teach and preach and live, to see some growth in people. And that's to encourage me to keep pushing, keep giving it to them, keep it talking, keep it working. Because if you don't see no growth, you have to just digging, constantly don't see no growth. What's going on, it really tires you out and wear you out. It tires you out and wear you out because you seem like your labor is in vain. We know it's not with God, but we know, you know, with people seem like it's in vain, because a lot of time with me over the years, people can quote everything that I say. But when you take a look at their life, when trouble comes, they couldn't walk in it. And see, what they don't realize, a person who is real in Christ, they may not be all of this and all of that and all this stuff, but that does not help them to build them up. But what they want to see, that word making the changes begin to make it. They're growing, you know, and God is using them, you know, to set people free or whatever he's doing in their life, you know, and it would help that person, encourage them, keep on seeking God's face. Keep on trying to, you know, get changed and made them so that they can begin to glorify the Lord in it. And so I thank and praise God for that, you know, for what he's doing. I praise him. Cause that is something that he told me, you know, that he was going to do. She will do. He said she will do what he has called her to do. And this before she ever backslid. So, you know, you have to really be walking a place in God to understand God's language and how he taught. So I never worried. I'm not saying I liked the thing that she got into and she did. I'm not saying that. But I never worried about her coming in and doing the Lord. But what I did as a mother was stay out of God's way a lot of times when he was taking the soups up. I pray her through. I didn't pray her out of it. I let him do what he needed to do to bring her in. Because the word has been given that once she come in, that she'll never go back out. But if I had to try to help him, see, that would have been me trying to make something happen. And it wouldn't be stable. So I'm believing God to keep his word. I'm believing God. Like I say, some years back, he said that he's going to put her in an old wash pot. And he's going to wash her clean. When he get through with her, she won't be nothing like whatever she did. And, you know, and I know in my heart and trust God, that's what's going to happen. That was another reason why, like I said, I didn't like a lot of things she did. She tell her own testimony. But I didn't worry about it because he told me when he get through with her, it didn't even look like she'd be like that, but she would have a testimony to tell somebody else, you know, the hardship, the whole lot of stuff, the other stuff that she did, you know. So it's to tell people, well, I don't care if you made your own choice when you was in the world. Do whatever. And you have already called out. God permitted that, and he's going to take that, what the enemy meant to destroy you. He's going to turn around for the good. He have a testimony to tell other people they got into whatever you got into. So this is why I tell people, don't stop and be judging other people and pointing fingers at other people and why they this, why they that, and, you know, and all this stuff. This is why we have to know what the Word says. We have to know what the Word says. So we give praise and thanks to God for that. And before I go to the Word, I'm going to go ahead and tell the testimony. I was hoping that somebody else would call in. But nevertheless, I may have to repeat it again. But I'm going to back up a little bit. The Lord had me, I got another book on signs and wonders. The Lord had me to pick up and begin to read it. And this particular lady, God had called her to the ministry. And she was making excuses about going forth and going out. And she was saying that if she was a man, she could do what God called her to do. And the Lord had four different people come by in her pathway that didn't know her and gave her that word again. And she still was making excuses that she couldn't go because she had this son, and he was 7 years old, and her husband, and all of this. And people forget, God knows what you got and what's up, but if he still gives you an assignment, he meant for you to do it, because you could ask, seek him. But anyway, what happened, this is why I tell people, you don't know God. You really don't know God, because God is concerned about all people, not just one person or two people. But anyway, eventually what had to happen, the Lord did take her son, but she made up her mind to go forward. But when she went forward, the power of God came with all kind of miracles, because I was asking God, these people that you used like that, what did they have to give you? What did they have to do for you to use them like that? They'd walk in that kind of power, that no sickness, no disease, no blood that stayed around. I said, I know you say you're going to use me in those different ways. I know to a certain level that you are. But is it more that I need to give up of you? Because really, to be honest, around here in the Western world, I'm a United States, I don't see a lot of people walking in that kind of power. I'm talking about people that have been in the church and met preachers and prophets and all of this stuff, but no signs and wonders really follow them. If it is, it's something that headache or whatever. But in this woman's ministry, some people they can't walk, all kind of cancer, all kind of stuff that at the last end of God was healing. But I'm saying all this to get to this. I had got a text, I guess about a couple of weeks ago, from a brother that texted me from Florida. He texted me, asked me to please pray for his brother, because his brother had prostate cancer. And they really kind of got bad on him, and they had to take some dead skins off of him. But anyway, he said, and also he ended up having gangrene in his backside and his front. I'm going to put it like that to kind of be halfway decent with it. And also he was hurting consistently. And so I had begun to think about that. I said, like God is having people asking me to pray for stuff that seemed to be impossible to man, because he knew what he's going to put him in. He knew I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to look at it, whatever it is. So I told him I would, and I prayed, and I had got on the free compass one night. And I was asking others to pray with me, but ended up I prayed myself, because this is supposed to be teaching people how to do intercessory prayer. You know, and God may have me to call on anyone at any time. That's him. It's drawing them into the calling. But anyway, I got a text from tonight from his brother. He wanted to text to let me know. He said that the pain has left him. It's been about 2 weeks now. 2 weeks. He said the pain has left. The place is healing up. The place is healing up. And also, he said that that he don't think he's gonna have to go to a urologist, on appointments and all that stuff. He said because. Also, they got a catheter on, but he said he praying and believing that to come off. But getting ready to go back to work. God has, hallelujah, supernatural winning. It may remind me of what he had promised to use me a lot, but it's him doing it that signs and wonders going to follow my ministry. Also, people are going to be knowing, about the healing woman. But see, God just want to yield their vessel. And not only is he want me to, but he want me to help to train other people to walk in the same kind of, anointing and to get them to a place that they face so strong. Because you have to go through about the impossibility of God that you stand and be able to pray in that. So I'm glad that God is showing me my labor is not in vain. My labor is not in vain, because I really, truly, to be honest, I had to begin to say, but Lord, you know, I know he answered my prayer. I know what's going to answer as he see fit, not as whatever I desire. But I was telling the Lord, I said, look, it's getting harder and harder for me to begin to spread the word out, because the enemy is working overtime with keeping me from getting the word out that people need. And then, too, some people want just a prophecy. And God already promised what he's going to do in the word. He already promised that, but you need the logo to help you to stand and trust God and wait on God. And that's what people don't want. But like I tell people, a person has to give out what God has given them. They can't step over into doing something, saying something that's not what God's speaking through them. That's them. And I don't do that. Now, yes, if they listen closely, they listen close and listen to how I pray, God be giving a prophetic word and forthcoming things to happen in their life, even through that. But because we are set up in a place that we only look for it to come one way. And most times we look for it to come for the things that we want, when God is more concerned about your relationship with him. And once you get back with him, he was holding no good thing anyway. But learning how to discern however God's speaking, whether it's through scripture, because a lot of times the way he did me when he was helping training me, not saying he's not training me now, he gave me scripture. I mean, yeah, he gave me a lot of prophecy. But he would always send me to scripture, and I can know exactly when he's talking to me and telling me what to do or what not to do. And the only way that I could have gone through the things that's gone through. And when I get that book out and people, what kind of thing that the Lord permit me to go through to transform me? It's not this wasn't the, I decided to do, and I decided not to listen to God, or decided to back up on God. It had nothing to do with none of that. This was while he was orchestrating my step. And I went through some stuff that he permitted and allowed to change me, to be that vessel. And people wonder, why do I want to obey God? Why I'm so adamant about the word? If they'd have went through and God put them on that cross like he did me and wouldn't allow them to get off to seek help or anything, he sent help when he got ready. And then he warned them, you can't look left or right. You've got to obey. I have a rubber merchant fear of the word. I respect the Lord. And so this is why, like I say, I'm itching to obey God. I'm sick and tired of seeing people or preaching, teaching, tell people about what God will do. But very few people, especially like I say, in the Western world, have any demonstration. You see people in other places. I think people see this happen. They see the people, how they criticize them, how they, you know, talk against them. So they say, well, you know, rather than walking that, I don't want people to come against me, so I'm not going to seek God to walk in that place. But you think about, we are not doing what he said do, finish the work of Jesus. And I stand before him because I didn't. I don't care what other good stuff I did. I'm going to have to give an account of that. Because he put people around me or in my presence or in my what's called, I couldn't encourage them. I couldn't do this for them. I couldn't do that. Maybe not having the finances. But see, one thing about God, until a person, I'll use me, get in a place that he can trust me, then he know what to release unto me. So just because I tell him this, that I'm going to go do it. You know, but he want us to come a place, like I say, in him, and want me to help get a people a place in him that they'll walk in even greater north than what I'm walking in, you know. He may use them more or greater. But for them to walk in it, and a lot of times what I see, because I was talking to somebody today, and they're basically trying to tell me, you know, that the people, they don't know, they don't what God. I'm saying that's why he raised up teachers. That's why he raised up me to tell people, not just me, you too, to tell people what they don't know. I said, but see, what they don't understand, I'm doing my work. They're not. I mean, they've been in, I don't know how long they've been in church a long time. They did it for a while, and they stopped. So yeah, they know about it. But see, he's not interested in you knowing about anything. He's interested in you doing. He's interested in you doing. But then we're gonna just go ahead on to the word. I just want to encourage people in scripture. Let me say in scripture tonight, and maybe Lord later on. But anyway, let me see what I'm doing here. Okay. Well, I'm just gonna go ahead onto the scriptures I got. But anyway, these are just to encourage people with the word. Not saying you don't know the word, but like I said, the more that the word get in you, the more that you meditate on, the more that you find, the deeper it get in you until whatever you go through, because the word is so deep, that trouble, that trial won't pull the word out. What I've gotten a lot over the years, a lot of people heard me with their natural ear. They could quote it back to me. But when trouble came, the only thing, I don't know why this happened, I can't, this doesn't make sense. So what about the word that you want to quote to me as if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do? You the one need the word. You need the word because I'm going to let the word come up out of my mouth. But the first scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, for me, scripture went up. It said, if my people, this is what God was saying, which are called by my name, shall humble, that means to abase, or that means they become self-dependent, repent, or to become contrition in their spirit, that bow down, they realize you're nothing without him. You can do nothing without him. He said, realize we're filthy, still, you know, sinning, some of us still practicing sin or whatever it is, but if you humble yourself down, even in calling yourself, his by his name, he said, and pray. Pray to him, mean give him a petition, not the petition of, I want this, I need this, I want this, I want, you know, all this stuff, not that. A supplication to entreat, even if we ask for stuff like that, but more so what I like to do, it's asking, Lord, I need more of you. I need more of your spirit. I need your anointing. I want to be a torchlight to help people. I need you to strip me, you know. And what I've learned with me now, having done that over the years and things, I've learned that the Lord has blessed me otherwise, because I wasn't seeking after his hand and the things. You know, I wasn't seeking after that. I was more crying out to him. It's not that I was ignorant of the things that he wanted to give me or that I needed things, but also I understand no one wants nobody to just want them for what they can give them. At least I don't. I don't. And I know that he had the same thing. But one of the scriptures that I'm just going to stop off on this because this is one of the scriptures I prayed a long time ago in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, when Solomon was praying and, you know, God gave him a dream. Anyway, he prayed to him in a dream and asked him, what should I give them? And 3:9 says, he said, give therefore thy servant, this was Solomon said to the Lord, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this God's whole greater people? Okay, he had a heart after God and the things of God. That's what he had. He said his speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked the things that, you know, that you know, God, what was on his mind. He wanted to know how to judge the people. And Solomon was one of the richest, probably the only richest person in the Old Testament at that time. God gave him everything because he didn't ask God to give him stuff and get him in. He asked God how to be able to judge his people right. You know, if somebody's right, you're right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. I don't care who. I don't care if you're some kin to me. And so I prayed that prayer many, 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 many times and was asking all that. And so somebody thinks, but you do need this and do it. First of all, I'm not stupid. I know I need that. But I also understand what the scripture is telling me. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is going to be added. That means seek him first. Seek his faith first. Seek his heart first. And so I prayed that prayer. But anyway, he said, pray and seek Seek means to seek for direction, assistance, or to make a search, favor. My face, the face of God is his presence. It's not his hand. Seek my face and turn from me, leave, change this wicked. Wicked is transgression of God's divine law. And you don't have to be out in the street to transgress God's law. You could be in him or in church or whatever people want to call it. And some things God's saying don't do, you're doing it anyway. So those are the only people can transgress, because if you're not a born-again believer, if you're not a real true child of God, you're serving God, you can't transgress the laws of God. Only those who name the name of Christ. That's why he said, the people called by my name. See, people trying to try to center people's idea. Well, you're transgressing the laws of God, and you shouldn't do that. But there are no scriptures now, sir. Because if they're not serving God, if they've been a backslid, that's enough that the Holy Spirit will tell you that. But he's saying, transgress God's divine law. Someone, when they put this uncovered, unconnected to God, basically unconnected to God, or they impend, they won't repent. His ways mean path, journey, pattern of life. Then will I hear from heaven. Then I'll give attention to your prayers and will forgive or pardon their sin. He called it a sin, which is an offense, a transgression, and will heal, cure, make whole their land. So if I don't repent of the little petty mess, I'm talking true repent, because when you repent about something, you turn completely around. You don't go back and do it again. You don't go back and say it again. But if I don't do that, my prayers are going to be hindered. This is what scriptures are telling us. But like I said, then people ain't repenting. So, but Lord, I'm sorry. And they turn around and do the same thing. They didn't repent from their heart. Sometimes we say stuff because we get caught or get convicted. This is not true to repent. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon. Anything used, said or done in an offensive or defense action or combat that is formed against thee shall prosper, be successful. So we need to stop worrying about what people say, what they try to do. All we need to learn how to stay and walk in righteousness, walk in the path where God has chosen us, be able to hear him, and go and do like he tells us to do. He said, don't go in the direction. Don't go in that direction. Or just call somebody, what they're going to do. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. If I live in righteousness, you can talk with all you want, but you can't touch me unless you touch God first. So I'm not going to worry about you. I'm not going to worry about your threats. I'm not going to worry about because you don't like me. But he says they shall not be successful in every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, a legal decision or sentence or whatever they're saying, thou shalt condemn. How are you going to condemn it? Not trying to go back at them, not trying to, I'm going to get them told, I'm going to say this to them, because they ain't going to be saying this and get away with it. If I tell them, they're not going to do it. And we all know. We all know. I don't care if we haven't lived for 20 years. Know that ain't going to work. Ain't nobody going to pay no attention. And so I don't care what you tell them, if they don't want to do it. But we worried about what people say. I mean, I've listened to some people recently. Every time I come around, people, but they said this, and they called me this, and they lied on me. They lied on Jesus. They lied on Jesus. And I was sitting up thinking to the Lord, oh, what's going to, because I had heard about this man that I used to watch a long time die. And I saw it, and it's so sad that the Christians that hate a man or woman of God so much, because they're doing more than what they're doing. They, you know, they're healing the sick, raising the dead, they're doing all this. And then after you die, or whatever, then they dig up dirt. And the Bible tells us that even if it's an enemy, we're not supposed to rejoice because they're going through. And some of these people know that they're preachers and prophets and things. Well, now it's God. How can we have so much hatred in our heart and get up in the pulpit and preach and prophesy? The gift will work. I keep telling people that it has nothing to do with because you ain't doing right and living right, because you got a gift. Now, give will, you know, will operate, but then what realm are you getting it from? But you're not supposed to come against your sister, your brother. You're supposed to pray for them. And if the person is dead, first of all, they stand put in judgment seat of God now. So whatever they did or didn't do, you need to be watching out for your own self. And that's why the Bible tells us, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That's what you need to do. I kept telling the lady today, she was talking about something. I told her, you know, I'm more concerned about trying to get my life and keep my life in order. The Bible says work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. You can't worry about what other people are not doing. And then you need to remember when you were acting just like they did, and God had to give me the grace to help stick with you until you get to see the thing right way. Why did he do that? So you can understand where other people are coming from. You can understand that once that you were there, that you didn't understand the word of God. You didn't understand what God was saying. You were just being combative. And so the Bible also says the seed you sow, you're going to reap it. You're going to reap it. I told her, I said, you know, I said, why do you think, after you all people, I said, seem to feel like you know everything. I said, but you don't understand why God raising up preachers and prophets and teaching what God. Because there are a lot of things people don't know. He's teaching them to teach the others. They need a teacher. Ain't no such thing that they should know. Because sometimes we've known things that were wrong and did it anyways. Especially when we got around our parents. You know, we got to learn and understand the ways of God and know that the weapons, when you live righteous, and especially when you walk in this supernatural, people get healed, delivered, and set free. That the religious people, I'm going to put it like that, I'm not going to say church, the religious people is the main one that come against you. They were the main ones that destroyed Jesus, the Jews, his people. His people were the main ones. So that's the same way in the body of Christ. This is what I go through a lot with those who say they're Christians. They don't want to hear the message God gave me. Now, I would say this. If I wouldn't preach the message people want, I wouldn't have no problem with the shows, all the shows being poor. They would love it and like it. But something to correct them, to make them live up, or bring attention to their life, to live a holy life what Christ expects. They don't want that, but they want you to be have a place in Christ, so if they, you know, need a miracle, you can pray and get that miracle up. How do they think that you got to that place where God would answer your prayer like that? You had to walk a life before him to please him. Before he was trusted, the Bible said the prayers of the righteous avail as much. So I cannot intentionally, now we all got some things that God could be working on us to be leading him, but it's my intentionally practicing. Anything that the Bible says wrong, what God says wrong, will hinder your prayers. So what they so blind, they can't see that if God is answering their problem, major stuff, answering that person's prayer, or God is moving for them and blessing them or giving them peace about something going on, that person, however they are, is it pleasing God. That's why he gives them that kind of trust or thing to do. So if I allow a little evil, a little wrongdoing, a little compromising, they don't realize this is going to hinder the prayer. But see, the devil don't care with people as long as they get what they want. However you get it, they talk about the man that goes in the street and breaking the place and this, that, and the other. They ain't got no business doing that. The people trying to cheat on the tax or whatever it is. You're doing the same thing. Trying to get what you want by any measure when you know the Bible talks is wrong. And I said this testimony before, because I had a lady back when I first got my back hurt, and she was telling me, Christian lady, nice lady, decent lady, and all that stuff, what you got to go to church, what you got to go, and she hated to see me go through so bad, me and my daughter. And she was telling me, she said, why don't, because the SSI people turned me down, they didn't want to give me the money, because of you know, work, I would have got $800 of money at the time. But anyway, they turned me down because usually what they do that anyway, after a couple times or a year or whatever. But anyway, she told me, she said, why don't you act like when you go in that, you can hardly walk? I said, I'm not acting like that because sometimes I could, you know, walk okay. My back didn't bother me sometimes. See, I said, God said he's going to heal me and bless me. So I'm not going to tell a lie. Not to get no money. I'm not going to do it. But see, she gave me the wrong advice. But what if I were weak enough and was not trusting God and went down there to tell a lie? Who knows what I'd have been going through now because of that one lie? Well, she gone, she gone, what's gone, and all that stuff, what's gone. But a lot of her choices and things that she made, because she never walked in obedience to God's word for her life. She suffered before she left here. Like I tell people, I'm not stupid. God don't have no little sweeties that one can do wrong, and, you know, he let them get by, and another can do it, he going to judge them. He's a righteous judge. He don't think like man thinks. But another scripture said, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God has given you a word through scripture, through prophecy, through whatever it is, and yes, it's contingent upon your obedience to him and your obedience to the word, but he's not going to change what's in mind unless you don't keep your end. Now, he never says what's going to happen between point A and Z that you don't have to go through. You have to trust him for the process. But the scriptures say we believe all the word, and this is what I've been telling me to tell people, believe all his word. Don't believe just some of it, all of it. If he say that he's not a man, that he should lie, and the devil done said, or even some of these liberal lips, well, you know, God will never do that. He can't do that. You got to help him. You got to this, that, and other. Then I reject that. That is not what his words say. Now, if he speaks to me and tell me, this is what I have to do, or this is what's going to, but I've learned a lot of the ways that man say God would go to do things. He don't do it that way. And that's when God has come back, and like I was telling somebody recently when I was talking about the situation here and all that stuff. People know, like, over the last 20 years, God has been prophesying to me, hey, different ones. I don't know how many times. They've probably been over 20 times prophesying me at the house. And prophesying me about a house I don't have to pay for. You know? So, somebody just tell me to go to try to get something where I'm going to have to, you know, pay for it or whatever it is. That's not God. I'm not listening to them. Because he hadn't changed his mind. Because if he'd have changed his mind, he probably told me first. You know, but you have to get to a place that you fight against all that. You stay stable. You say, what's God? Because he knows what it means. It's not about that, the house anyway. I just want to get somewhere where I can be, where I can do the will of God. That's it. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Basically, the advice of the wicked people. They are blessed. I've seen it in my walk with the Lord. People, God's people, they take the advice of a person that ain't even walking, showing up walking upright with God. They'll take their advice or their counsel for they with somebody who is really walking with God. Because maybe this person is somebody they, you know, they like as a friend or their family or whatever it is. Even though they can see the fruits in their life, then they done messed up their life in some kind of way about their bad advice. But the Bible says you only bless when you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. The wicked, not standing in the way of sinners, being a hindrance to other people. If I don't live right, if I don't do right, you know what's called it, and if somebody's spiritually weak or whatever, I'm being a hindrance in their pathway. The Bible tells me, don't stand in the way of sinners. So that's why with me, what I try to do is somebody who maybe haven't got there yet in a week, because they put you on, I don't really try to intentionally, if I know the Bible says wrong, I don't intend to try to do wrong. Now, like I say, there's a lot of things you don't know yet. But I don't plan on trying to make nobody fall. I'm going to tell people the truth, but I'm going to let you see me walking in it. I don't do the religious cliche and all that stuff, you know, and then have a different tune when something happens. I don't do that. But the Bible said, not sit in the seat of the scornful. some who acted in defiance or scoffed at God or laughed or making fun, you know, at the spiritual thing or whatever it is. The Bible say, do not sit in the seat of the scornful. He said, and someone who make a mockery of God, but this person, they delight to sin, or they pledge in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. These are people that's always got the word coming forth. They ponder the word of God, not question God's word, but they ponder the word of God. It is what they feed on. And say, and God, and he, basically, no, he said, and he shall be like a tree. This person who meditates on the word all the time, who don't take the counsel of, I mean, the, you know, advice of a person who bases a sinner or whatever it is, they don't know, they're not walking upright, their own self, you know, what's coming, but they are obeying the word of God. And don't say, then this word that this person will be, and he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The water is something about for the Holy Spirit, okay, that bringeth forth his fruits in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, I mean fade away, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I mean, whatever he put his hand to do, because why? He walking in obedience to God's word. He's not taking advice of somebody who don't know what they're talking about. They heard it, but they're not applying it to their life. And I tell people, you know, sometimes I've looked at people over the years. I said, you know, I don't know whether you think I'm, whatever you think I'm wrong with me. You got all this good advice, and look at your life. So if it ain't no good for you, guess what? It ain't going to be no good for me either. I'm not accepting it because for whatever reason, you're not even doing anything with it. And the Bible, this is going back to Scripture, even Scripture. But if I do this consistently, this is why I say another word. I'm not worried about prospering because I intend to do like this to do. Anybody that say they're a Christian or whatever it is, they don't twist the word or change it. That's the wrong advice. I don't listen to that. But the way that I do is this, my inner man, I have fed it with the word of God till whenever, whoever they are, whatever they're saying, if I get a disturbance in my spirit, man, I get aggravated in my spirit, man, I don't have no peace. I know what they're saying is not truth. They may have twisted the word up, or they may put what they think the word is or whatever it is, but it can't come from the Spirit of God, because if it was, your spirit man will be peace. Even though you never know it, even though it may be getting on you or whatever it is, but your spirit man is peace because he knows everything. But Psalm 62:6-8, he said, my soul waiteth thou only upon God. This is what they would say, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. See how he's dependent is only in God. It ain't nothing else but him. He is my defense. He's the one that's going to protect me. I should not be moved. And God is my salvation. I told you, you know, in Scripture, especially a lot in the Old Testament, that meant that salvation, the word salvation meant is deliverance. That's an era of your life. It's not just about the eternal salvation. And my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. This is why we have to get the word down in our voice. When the trouble comes, when this come or that come, or whatever kind of people they are becoming, most times, like I say, it's religious people, come with all the buts and all the this and all the that. No, the word say this. The word said this, that's a person who is stabilized in the word of God. That's a person who trusts in the word of God. That's a person who's going to see their life prosper because of the word. Because these things are going to come, people are going to come and try to get you to take down and try to think they know so much more about the word and all this stuff, but you don't see the fruits. The Bible says you know the tree by the fruits. That's how you know. You don't know what's coming out, what people say come out of their mouth and all this stuff. The fruits. Because if I say that I'm a Christian and I live by the word of God, the day I'm all up in Christ and tomorrow I'm all down or whatever, I'm not what I'm saying I am. Because I'm allowing things to steal my joy and my peace. He said, trust in him at all time. All time. All time means good, bad, indifferent, whatever. ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Psalm 34 and 2. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant. The Lord redeemeth the souls of those who are his servant, that serve him. You also serve him by serving other people. He will redeem you. And none of them that trust in him shall be destitute. And that word means destituted. If your trust is truly in him, I don't care how he looks, how he this, he promised in his word they should never be desolate. Or desolate means deserted, come to ruin, deprived, or comfort. He said it won't happen to them. Okay, if it's happening, I have to check my life out. This is what I do. It has to be on my part, not God. It does not have to be on the other people's part. I don't say nobody else has anything to do with me not being blessed, because they are not my source. They are not my source. God is, yes, he uses other people. But if I be faithful, one person don't do it, he'll use another one. Because he made me a promise. Psalm 146 and 3. Put not your trust in princes, leaders, not in the son of man, mankind, in whom there is no help. The only way they can help you, God has a thirsty heart to do it if they are the vessel he wants to use. Just because you think they ought to be a vessel, because they got this, they got that, and they got the other, that has nothing to do with what they have or don't have, whether they be other one. Because God may take somebody who don't have nothing, bless them because their heart is obedient, and tell them to bless you. That's what God, he doesn't go by this because, well, you know, Sister Ruth, she got all this money came in, and I know she got it, and I'm going to pray for him to tell her to bless me. No, that's not what we do. Because if he want me to do it, he going to touch my heart and tell me to do it anyway, and I'll do it. I obey the Lord. But it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It's better to trust in God, not mankind. Exodus 14:13 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the deliverance of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, which were the enemy, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. So our enemy, just like he was telling them, stop paying attention to the enemy. Don't fear them. Stand still, go through, because when God's timing comes, he's going to bring deliverance. And if you know anything about Pharaoh and the following after Moses, the last time when he told Pharaoh to let Moses go and the people, he suffered Pharaoh's heart up to follow after him. And when they got to the edge of the Red Sea, he closed up after all his people got through. And when they went through, all that water drowned them. God got your enemies at bay. If he calls them enemies, and he go by people's heart, he know what to call, even though he may use them. But he say for us to stop worrying about the enemy. Isaiah 30:1-3. Woe to the rebellious, meaning the stubborn, refractory, forming an alliance with the world. People that's connecting to the world system way of thinking and doing. Children, say the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. That cover what they're covering, but not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin. When I am taking counsel or going to somebody else before I do to God, first of all, I got a rebellious heart. Okay, I got a rebellious heart. And then what he's saying, I'm adding sin to sin. Because I'm first supposed to come to him before I go to anybody. Or if I'm going to somebody, I'm going to tell them, look, I need you to stand with me and pray for God's will to be done. I don't really want to accept it either. People are going to come to somebody. Well, I'm going to pray. I pray for people. I'm going to pray for what I think. No, not for me you won't. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding in all of your ways. Acknowledge me, and I direct your path. I need you standing with me for the will of God to be done. Whatever his will is going to be best for me. If it don't even look like it's going to be best, it's going to be best because he is more wiser than what I am. He says, I'll make your wisdom come to naught. You know, that's why I got very vexed. You know, when it came to the situation about the house, and, you know, a couple of people had texted me to my day was praying and telling me where to go and who to this and who to that. That's not what I ask you to do. That's why I don't ask a lot of people to pray. I ask you to pray, stand with me, that whatever God's will is for. If God is willing for me to stay right in this place right now until he do what he's going to do, then that is what you pray. You know, don't be trying to tell me as you more wiser than God and you don't know my situation, you know, because if I take things in my hand and do it, I'm going to have to come up with the money. So if I wait on God, he's going to have to come up with it. And he just gave a word today to tell me that whatever he had promised to someone else, whatever he has promised, say he wasn't going to be through none of the people that I think he's going to be through. He said it wasn't going to be that. He said because he already got it set up how it's going to happen. I know that. I got that kind of confidence. I'm at peace. Yeah, I would have loved for him to have moved before now. Sure. But I can't make him move. I can't make him move. But anyway, he said, they walked to go down to Egypt, like it's about for the world system, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh's and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadows of Egypt shall be your confusion. This is why it was me. And this scripture was given me years back when the Lord was taking me, really through stripping me, and wouldn't allow me to go to this world system. I had to come to him first of all. Then he said, now one time before I got strong, I did go and the lady talked junk to me. So he would let me know, I'm going to the world to ask for help before I come to him. It's not saying he wouldn't have used the world system, but he was telling me that if you come to me, I will touch the hearts of whoever it is. I will give you favor. And when you go, you won't have to be going and trying to make somebody do something, trying to plead or make somebody feel sorry for you. Which, you know, but then he said, but if a person that do that, the strength of Pharaoh is going to be your shame. I'm going to let you come to shame because you choose to choose another God and not me. And because you chose them. In some, this actually got to be Isaiah 31:1-3. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on their horses, trusting in chariot, because they are very strong, but they look not to the Holy One of Israel and seek the Lord. And basically what he's saying then, a lot of these people, even at that time, because we got a lot of people, you know, I said a few minutes ago, not realizing I'm going to the scripture, a lot of people, you know, I'm going to go to Sister Rukin, huh? Ooh, she done got a lot of money. She done win the lottery. She done win this. It's not that God may not touch my heart to do it, but he don't need nobody to tell me to do it. He need nobody to tell me to do it. And that's why I was telling people back in, sometime back, they were trying to tell me how that they would help me to do in order for them to want to be a blessing. And I was telling people, he told me they're going to be a blessing, but he didn't tell me to make it a way for them to do it. I have to trust in the Lord, but he says, I also will bring evil and will not call back his word, but will rise against the house of evil, against the help of them that work iniquity. Now he said, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horse of flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hopeless shall fall down. They all shall fall together. We have to realize that he wants us, his people, to come to him. Luke 6:39 says, and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not fall in the ditch? And basically what the Lord is saying to his people, you know, a person that's blind itself, they cannot take you anywhere. They cannot do anything for you, because they don't even know where they're going to answer. But Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first, number one priority, the kingdom of God, not yours or Satan, or either rules other than the Spirit of God, and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. All of these things shall be added unto you. You know, so we have to really seek the face of God. Seek the face of God. We have to seek out people that seek the face of God. The people that believe in praying to get answers. That's what we need to seek. And do what the Lord say do. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understands all things. Only those that seek the Lord. First Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually seek his face. That's what we as a people need to do. But we thank and we praise God for the word of God tonight. We thank and praise God for what he has brought forth. And we pray that the word of God will go forth in the hearts of the people and bring about a blessing. And we thank and praise each and every one that may have called in or that listened to the word. We pray it be a blessing to you. So we're going to say tonight, you know, good night to you. And thank you for being on. And God bless you. So good night.